of course, the Passover, beautiful foreshadowing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Last week, how God then led Israel out of Egypt, picturing the Christian being led out of the world into a new life. And here in chapter 13, we find Israel actually on their way out. So let's start in verse 1 of Exodus 13. It says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Sanctify unto me all the firstborn, whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and of beast, it is mine. And Moses said unto the people, Remember this day in which ye came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage. For by strength of hand the Lord brought you out from this place. There shall no leavened bread be eaten. This day came ye out in the month Abib, and it shall be when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, which ye sware unto thy fathers to give thee, a land flowing with milk and honey, that thou shalt keep this service in this month. 7 days thou shalt eat unleavened bread, and in the seventh day shall be a feast to the Lord. Unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days, and there shall no leavened bread be seen with thee, neither shall there be leaven seen with thee in all thy quarters. And thou shalt show thy son in that day, saying, This is done because of that which the Lord did unto me when I came forth out of Egypt. And it shall be for a sign unto thee upon thine hand, and for a memorial between thine eyes, that the Lord's law may be in thy mouth. For with a strong hand hath the Lord brought thee out of Egypt. Thou shalt therefore keep this ordinance in his season from year to year. And it shall be when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites, as he sware unto thee, unto thy fathers, and shall give it thee, that thou shalt set apart unto the Lord all that openeth the matrix, and every firstling that cometh of a beast which thou hast, the male shall be the Lord's. And every firstling of an ass shalt thou redeem with the lamb, and if thou wilt not redeem it, then thou shalt break his neck. And all the firstborn of man among thy children shalt thou redeem. And it shall come, and it shall be when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, What is this? That thou shalt say unto him, By strength of hand, the Lord brought us out from Egypt, from the house of bondage. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh would hardly let us go, that the Lord slew all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beast. Therefore, I sacrifice to the Lord all that openeth the matrix, being males, but all the firstborn of my children I redeem. And it shall be for a token upon thine hand, and for frontlets between thine eyes, for by strength of hand the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, Lest peradventure the people repent when they see war. And they returned to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones away hence with you. And they took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham, in the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by a day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in the pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. So that's our title, verse 21, The Lord Went Before Them. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your precious word. Ask you to use it now in our hearts and guide us. And meet with us, we ask in Christ's precious name. Amen. This word sanctify in verse 2, first usage of the word in God's word, means to set apart for God. And when we're saved, of course, God wants us to be set apart for his service. The Bible talks a lot about being sanctified. 1 Corinthians 6:11 says, You are sanctified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. God sets us aside. And God wanted the firstborn. Of course, God wants our first and our best. Amen. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. Remember, the Passover pictured their salvation. Now God's brought them out of Egypt to a new life. And he wants them sanctified. He wants them set apart for his service. And he says there in verse 3, remember this day. How many times did the Apostle Paul even point back to his salvation, to what God had done in his life? And God wants us to constantly remember that day when we were redeemed by blood, the blood of the Lamb. To constantly remember it, and as we see here, constantly talk about it. But it says here in verse 3 that they were brought out of the house of bondage. So Egypt not only pictured the world, but it pictures sin and the bondage of sin. And if you go to Romans 8:21, we'll see that God, when he saved us, he delivered us from bondage as well. The bondage of sin, the bondage of the world, which every unsaved person is wrapped up in and doesn't even know it oftentimes. Romans chapter 8 and verse 21, it says, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. That's us. We have been delivered from the bondage of corruption. Galatians 5 says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So we have been delivered not only from the world, but we've been delivered from the bondage of sin. Hallelujah. And remember, we talked about this, but when they took the feast together, it always had to use unleavened bread, because leaven all through the scriptures pictures sin. And our lamb is sinless. Hallelujah for that. Verse 8, and thou shalt show thy son in that day, saying, this is done because of that which the Lord did unto me when I came forth out of Egypt. Continually, generation after generation, remind your children and your grandchildren and the great-grandchildren what God has done. This is what God wanted from Israel, to constantly be passing it on. This is what God did, and he refers back to it, for Israel's sake anyway, more than any other event in their history, he refers back to when he delivered them from Egypt, which must make it extremely important. And of course, the Passover is the picture of the most important person, if you want to call him that, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the most important event in our lives, which is when we were redeemed by the Passover lamb. But God giving them instructions about this ordinance, this feast. Interesting, now verse 17. It came to pass that when Pharaoh had let the people go, God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war. Isn't that interesting? And if they repent, verse 17, they return to Egypt. How many Christians have seen war and they repent and they return to Egypt? Folks, when we get saved, we are in a war. If you want to go to 2 Timothy 2, I'll show you this. But you enter into a war the day you get saved. When you're not saved, you're not in a war. You're already on the losing side and you don't have to fight. You're on your way to hell, and you don't have to fight to get there. But the day that you get saved, now you're on God's side, and the devil and the world and the flesh are going to fight you until the day you leave this earth. 2 Timothy 2:4, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. We talked a lot about being a servant, talked a lot about being, you know, accountable as not only a servant, but as a steward. But we're also soldiers. And we get saved. We've been called to fight. Not each other, but the devil and the world and the flesh for the cause of the souls of men and women, boys and girls. And he said, you guys are fresh out of Egypt. You've been there 430 years. I'm not going to take you this way in case you see war and say, that's too much. Let's go back to Egypt. And by the way, that's exactly what happened. If you go to Numbers chapter 14, when the spies brought back their report, after God brought them right up to the border of the promised land, Numbers chapter 14, they sent out the 12 spies, one for each tribe. 10 of the spies came back and said, "We can't do it. There's walled cities. There's giants. It's impossible." Of course, Joshua and Caleb said, "Let's go. God's already promised it. Let's go." And the people believed the report of the 10 spies. And look what they said, verse 4 of Numbers 14. And they said one to another, "Let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt." Isn't that something? Look down at verse 11. And the Lord said unto Moses, "How long will this people provoke me? How long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have showed among them? I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they." You think God was upset? He was so upset he threatened to kill every single one of them right there on the spot and say, "I'm going to start over with you, Moses. Just going to kill them all and do what I did with Noah and just start over." And of course, we'll get there, but Noah's going to plead with God on behalf of his people, and God will change his mind. But he said, "Thus peradventure they see war and repent and what? Return to Egypt, the very place that I delivered them from, the place that they begged me to deliver them from. What if they repent when they see war and go back?" And for us as Christians, God says what? Remember Lot's wife. One of the shortest verses in the Bible. What a powerful truth, huh? In Luke 17, remember Lot's wife. And Paul even faced it in his ministry. Look at 2 Timothy 4, and we'll see an example of a man named Demas, who was a traveling companion of the Apostle Paul, 2 Timothy chapter 4. And you know what he did? Because traveling with Paul would not have been easy. You might as well sign on the contract, "Well, I'm going to have to go to prison a bunch of times and have to get beaten, attacked. I'm going to have to flee for my life." Most people wouldn't sign that employment contract, would they? And so Demas was one of those ones who traveled with Paul. But then look what it says in verse chapter 4, verse 10 of 2 Timothy. "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed into Thessalonica." Demas decided he couldn't travel with Paul anymore. It was just too heavy, too much. What did he do? Loved this present world. And how many Christians have seen war? They see that it's a battle and they have to fight all the time. And they what? They return to Egypt. So, back to our passage here in Exodus 13, verse 18, it says, instead of taking them that way through the land of the Philistines, I don't want them to see war and return to Egypt, God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And as we'll see next week, God intentionally took them to a place where they were trapped. Isn't that something? Where they were cornered. And why would he do such a thing? So that he could show his glory, amen? And destroy the army of Egypt, which he did in the Red Sea. But they didn't know they were going to cross the Red Sea. All they knew is they were just had to follow God's leading and go where he told them to go. God knew what was best for them, what was best for their growth, best for their faith. So he led them through the way of the wilderness. You know, God will always lead us. That's what this last passage is about. But that leading may and probably always will take us through some wilderness. It's not, God's not going to say, "I'm always going to take you on the easy road." He might take us on the hard road. Even David, when he gave his beautiful psalm, one of the most beautiful psalms in the Bible, Psalm 23, talks about God's leading, God's blessings, but he also says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. God may even lead me through the valley of the shadow of death. God might lead me to a rough spot, but He will always be with me. And He is always leading me. So God said, I want you to go this way, Egypt, and as we'll see next week, Israel, as we'll see next week, He intentionally took them right to the spot where they were completely trapped by the army. Why? So, to test their faith, yes, but also to show them His power, which He did. They took the bones of Moses, which God had promised they would do, of Joseph. And it says, verse 21, the Lord went before them. It hasn't said that up to now, but now, from this day, the day when they were delivered from Egypt, right up until they go into the promised land, even while they wandered in the desert for 40 years, even when they were in complete disobedience, He never stopped leading them. Isn't that beautiful? Has there ever been a time in your Christian life where you were in disobedience? Where you weren't living for God like you should? Where you weren't in a mode of sacrificing for the Lord like you should? Of course. But God never stopped. Jesus said, I will never, ever leave thee nor forsake thee. All through the Scriptures, He promises to guide us. And He's teaching Israel, I'm going to keep guiding you no matter what. And that cloud and that pillar of fire never stopped leading them, even during the 40 years of wandering. Which shows us a lot about God's character, doesn't it? That He intentionally took them to a place where they got trapped so that He could show His glory through the Red Sea. He led them, took them to the promised land. They didn't have the faith to go in. He said, that's it, you're going to wander in the desert for 40 years. I'm going to punish everybody over 20. But He never stopped leading them. And He will never stop leading us. Psalm 119:105, most of you know it by heart. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God promises to always lead us. And if you go to John 16, God not only promises to lead us through His word, but isn't it amazing that He even promises to indwell us to lead us? John 16, verse 13, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. God's going to lead us through the good times, and God's going to lead us through the bad times. As we will see, as we travel with Israel on their journey in these next few books of the Bible, that pillar never left through all the complaining, all the punishments that He had to dish out. Time and time again, the pillar never left. And the pillar will never lead us. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Amen. He may have to take us home if it gets too extreme, like He had to take many of the Israelites home. But He will never stop leading up until that day. That cloud or that fire will always be there. Not only in His presence in the person of the Holy Ghost, but in His precious word, He will always, always lead us. In Psalm 32:8, it says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. That's God's promise. I will keep guiding you, no matter what. Jesus said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, in Hebrews 13:5. And that's what it says here in verse 22 of our passage. He took not away. I love that phrase. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of the fire by night from before the people. And of course, they didn't realize at this point what that really meant, that it was going to be 40 years of God's guidance with the cloud and the fire. Never took it away because God went before them, showed them, even when they were wandering in the desert. It wasn't aimless wandering. God said, okay, it's time to go from this spot to this spot. And they stayed there and camped. Now it's time to go over to here. And they stayed there and camped. And He did that for 40 years. Showed them exactly where to go each time and set up camp. we'll listen, He'll continue to show us too. Amen? His Word is a lamp. His Word is a light. The Holy Spirit is there to guide and show us the way that we will go. It might be through the way of the wilderness. It might be into a battle. We are soldiers after all. But soldiers that have armor and a sword, hallelujah. But He may lead us into some really tough battles as soldiers. Think about it. Even after they went into the promised land, even after they crossed the Jordan River and went into the promised land, the new generation, after wandering for 40 years, what's the first thing they had to do was start fighting battles. City after city, they had to fight for them. So the battles aren't going to stop. But neither is God's leading. And that's quite beautiful when you think about it. God never said, if you'll just trust me and get saved, no more problems, no more trials. I mean, people preach that, but it's not in the Scriptures. But He did say, I will never stop leading you, no matter what. And as He promised Israel and commanded Israel, never, ever forget this day. Amen? Remember this day. What day? The day that the Lamb of God rescued you with His blood. Remember that day. No matter what you're going to face in the next however many years, remember that day. The day when you became a child of God through the blood of the Lamb. And know that He will go before you no matter what. The Bible says the Lord went before them. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, thank You so much for Your precious leading. We are so blessed that, Lord, despite our failures, You never turn Your back on us. You never depart from us. But You stay in and with us. You continue to guide us. And Lord, may we continue to follow, no matter where it leads, even if it leads to some battles. May we know that You're with us. And I pray we would learn this great lesson, Lord, in our Christian walk, that You're there for us and that You want to use us and You want to bless us, just like You wanted to use Israel. So, Lord, may we take this to heart and live it every day of our Christian lives. We ask this in